Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings, God's way, for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. We are coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. From Music City, this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I am your host, Chris Brown. And of course, we're honored that you're tuning in. Those of you that tune in right here on the dial each and every day, thank you so much for what you mean to this True Stewardship community. You guys are reaching out on social media. You guys are sharing the show. It's been pretty cool. It's been about a year and a half or so, about 360-something episodes. Been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for tuning in. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Social media handle is chrisbrownonair. And we are ready for a great show today. I'm actually feeling like giving some stuff away today. I want to give some resources away. Feel like it's a we can just kind of make a holiday right now. A national, there's a national everything day now. A national giving stuff away day. That's right, right here, Ramsey Solutions. Yep. So stay tuned for that. I want to give some stuff away. I read a recent tweet from Pastor Todd Mullins, good friend of mine down in Palm Beach. Has a gigantic church down there of like 25,000 people. He wrote this. He said, "Be stronger than your excuses." Very simple, very profound. We all have excuses. He put a hashtag there, run to win. Let's all agree together as a community to start this week strong. Monday, October 17th, no excuses. Let's run to win. What are we running towards anyway? We're running towards managing everything God's way. Everything he's entrusted us with. For his glory. Again, that number is 866-357-3283. And first up from Houston, not Texas, Houston, Missouri. This is Wayne. Wayne, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I had a question, and I was discussing this with my wife, whether we should do this or not. I've got about just under $30,000 in credit card debt, and it's averages around 10 or higher percent interest rate.
Yuck.
Through my job, I have a thrift savings plan. I assume you know what that is, right?
Yep.
Okay. And I put 5% of my pay into it every payday, and my work matches that 2-to-1.
Okay.
And 5% is as high as they'll match. They won't match any more than that.
That's pretty typical.
Okay. And what I was wanting to do, I have about $67,000 in that right now. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about borrowing enough money out of it to pay off my credit card debt and then pay back the loan from my TSP. From what I understand, the loan I would actually be borrowing the money from myself at 1.5% interest instead of the 10-15% interest. And as I pay the loan back, it's actually going back into my thrift savings account. Sounds like a good idea to me. I just wanted to get somebody else's opinion on what they thought.
Yeah, well, of course, I mean, everyone listening in can see the obvious 8.5% advantage. Instead of paying 10, you're paying 1.5. Let's break this down a little bit further. What's your income?
I'm retired Air Force, so I have a retirement pay coming from that, and then I make about $72,000-$73,000 a year.
Okay.
So, and then I my retirement on top of that. which is about another 15,000.
Okay, that's what I was going to guess. Okay. What are the penalties to pulling out of the TSP outside of the interest?
No, I don't think there are any penalties. I mean,
It's because you're getting a loan, not because you're taking it out permanently. That's why.
Right. Yeah. You have to have it paid back. It's set up where they automatically deduct the repayment money back to your account, and it has to be paid back in 5 years.
Gotcha.
Which is another good thing, because in 5 years I can still see those credit cards not being paid off.
You are not only going to be giving up the 1.5% that you're going to be paying back, though. It's not an 8.5% difference, because the amount of time that money is out of there, it's not gaining. You're losing opportunity cost. So it's not a true 8.5. So I know that's where our minds automatically went. But you may be shocked, but I'm actually going to say no. I wouldn't borrow from your future to pay for your present. You're making about $90,000 a year, and you have $30,000 in debt. And so what I think you should do is put together a plan over the next 9 to 24 months, depending on your intensity. That wouldn't contribute anymore. I would stop the 5% immediately. Like, Chris, are you crazy? Give up all that compound interest and the matching? Yeah, I would, for a season. And I would actually make that create some intensity in my life where I got more and more frustrated that I'm losing out on that. And that would push it from 18 to 24 months all the way back to 9, maybe even 6 months, where you absolutely live on nothing for 6 months and pay this thing off and make those big $2,000, $3,000 payments. The reason why I say all this, I want you to put together a plan for, it's up to you, 6 months, 9 months, 12. The plan is important. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Put together the plan. And then Proverbs 6:5 says to free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. And I really wouldn't want you to pull from that TSP at all. And then, of course, within the TSP, this is kind of some bonus for you. You want to kind of go this 60-20-20 route. You want 60% to be in that category C, in the common stock index. And then you also want the next portion, 20%, to be in the S, or the small company index. And then you want 20% to be in international stocks in the I section, but stay away from F or G. So what's ever in there right now, you could actually be getting a better return on it if you get them divided up nicely. So 60-20-20, just remember that. So if you do those two things on the expense side, on the debt side, and do that, you kind of reorganize or reshuffle your TSP, you're going to get more gain there. That should help you. And at the same time, you're minimizing risk in your life and you're creating some intensity in your life. We're not talking about debt moving. We're not moving it from one debt to another. We're actually eliminating it. We're kicking it in the teeth. And we're not robbing our future. So I would push pause on all investing, period. I would pay off your debt in 6 to 9 months. Then I would go back to the investing. I'm going to give you a free resource. It's called Retire Inspired, that will explain this in more detail. And it'll get you pumped up about getting to that retirement stage. You just right now, you've got the cart before the horse a little bit. Let me send you this free book. It'll explain it a little bit more. Retire Inspired is the name of it. And that's exactly what I'd want you to do. I want you to pause your investing, go back to paying off the debt, and then come back to the retirement.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vanderbloom and Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vanderbloomen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Well, folks, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. My name is Chris Brown, and I am your host, and I'm honored. The number is 866-357-3283. Call in like Wayne did. Very good question. You could see the wrestle, right? You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Betsy emails in, says, hello. I have $7,000 in credit card debt. I have $2,000 in stocks. This sounds like it's going to be a similar question. Can I or should I cash out the stock to put a dent into the debt? So you may be listening in going, well, this is going to be the exact same answer. It's not. This one's different. Okay. I actually would pull this because I don't want you to have stocks. I want you to have mutual funds. I want you to have diversified long-term retirement like a TSP, the thrift savings plan that was referred to in our last call, or a 401k at your work, or a 403b at work if you work in a nonprofit, or a Roth IRA. I want you to be in long-term diversified retirement accounts. I don't like stocks. They're not as diversified enough. Ecclesiastes 11:2 tells us to invest in 7 or in 8. You don't know what kind of tragedy is going to come upon the land. We want to make sure we're diversified. So yes, I would pull the 2,000 and apply it to the 7,000 in credit cards while pumping another 5,000 towards that thing and getting it out of your life in 3 months, 2 to 3 months, depending on how much you make, Betsy. Non-retirement investments is the key here. It's a non-retirement investment. There's no fees associated with it. It's not for retirement. It's just we started investing before we should have. You don't want to rely on quick fixes, though, in the future, okay? So, Betsy, if you're listening in, you don't want to always rely on these quick fixes, but this one works out well. When you guys are diversifying, make sure you think through 25% you want to go to growth stocks. 25% of your portfolio needs to go to growth and income stocks. 25% needs to go to international stocks. And 25% needs to go to aggressive stocks. That's a great balance between risk and conservative and a little bit of yield. You notice I didn't say anything about bonds. I didn't say anything about all tech stocks. That's a very, very good mix of conservative and high yield. All right, next on the line, we've got Hank. He's calling in from Providence, Rhode Island. Hank, how are you?
Good, Chris. How about yourself?
I'm better every day. How can we help you?
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, honored.
Excellent. This is a two-part question. Really just getting involved in the budget, you know, trying to get control of my money. So the two-part question is, A, I get paid every 2 weeks. So looking, I'm getting into the Every Dollar app, and that's a monthly figure. But I get paid every 2 weeks. So is there a tool or a better way to use a budget that's every 2 weeks versus a monthly view? Or is there some tricks to do that?
You know what? I use Every Dollar, and I have not noticed personally if there is an every 2 week option on there. I haven't needed it. I get paid every 2 weeks. But for me, what I've just done is I've scheduled my bills to come out of my bank. Some in the beginning of the month and some at the end of the month. So I pump a lot of my utilities to the front of the month because the bigger payment, which obviously is the house, the rent that I'm currently renting, comes out the end. And so it works out. It works out where it's coming out in the beginning and coming out the end. So I just kind of like strategically place mine when I want them out. That's kind of worked for me. Another thing that's worked for me is just making sure that you've got a little bit more wiggle room in your operational account because the budgeting process does take 3 or 4 months to really perfect and get down. I know for us back when we started budgeting, it wasn't smooth in the beginning. But what helped us whenever we started to make mistakes is that we started to, if we had a little bit more room in the account, we could make the mistake and it not hurt us. So maybe it's a month or two for you to live way below your means so you can pump the operations account with maybe $500 or $600. Maybe it's $1,000 extra to kind of give you some wiggle room if you didn't have the money in there in time. That always helped me.
So that gives you that little buffer between the weeks of paycheck. If a utility or something does need to come out, you have a little bit of room.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I do know there is an article on everydollar.com right now, and it's called Allocated Budget Help. That's the name of the article, and that actually talks through this and some of the cool little tricks, I guess you can call it, to navigate through this. So for me personally, I haven't had to experience as much because I kept my operational account a little bit more beefed up than normal just so that I didn't have to deal with that. But it took a couple months of me living way below my means to get it there.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that kind of segues into my second part of the question is, any tips or tricks? I'm a little more energized about this than my wife. Mm. She's more of the free spirit. She pays the bills, regularly online herself, mm-hmm. but she still is more of the free spirit. She sees the money come and go, but you know, if there's dinner plans or something, she's more the one, okay, yeah, let's go have dinner, where I'm trying to say, no, we'll close it here, hold it in the budget. So just looking for a good method to kind of bring her back on, you know, to try and get on the same page with this budget monthly.
Yeah, the biggest things that have worked for me, Hank, have been going back to what she really wants. So what do we want as a couple? What do we want in the future? What are we heading towards? And then we just ask the open-ended question, what's the best way for us to get there? What it does is it does a couple things. One, it puts her current wants into perspective. When she puts her current wants up against her real future wants, it makes her realize how little she really wants these small things now. And this works for male or female. And so a lot of times we get laser focus into the day-to-day, and we need to pull up and say, what do we really want? The definition of discipline is being able to say no to what we want today for what we really want later. And that really goes for any kind of discipline, financial, physical, relational, you name it. So one is just putting everything into her terms, what she's wanting, what you guys are wanting together, and how do we get there? How can I help you get there? How can we help each other get there? The other thing it does is she's coming up with the answer. When you give the open-ended question, she's coming up with the answer. She's not being told what to do. She's actually creating buy-in in the process because she's the one that came up with the idea. And okay. So that will really help. When really, most people, most adults, don't really respond well to being told what to do. I mean, we just don't.
Right.
So let her come up with the plan, and just, you know, within her personalities. But you want to start with, what do you want? Hey, let's go towards that. Whatever it is, maybe it's a vacation to Hawaii in 2 years. It could be something really shallow. It could be something really deep. But what is it that she wants in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years? How do we get there? And then now those $200 shopping trips or whatever it happens to be in your household, those will stop because she's got her eye on the prize.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, excellent. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Hank, we appreciate the call. All right, folks, you've been thinking about investing lately. I know you probably are. You're thinking about that future, right? I know it's hard to dive right into investing. You need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. Well, imagine working with an investing professional who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it. That's right. Who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you, no matter your age or account balance or your financial knowledge. That's what you get when you work with a SmartVestor Pro. Definitely a term you want to commit to memory, SmartVestor Pro. So if you need someone that you can count on to help you take control of your future, go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor Pro right there in your area. Don't wait to get educated on your future. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find a Pro with SmartVestor to get started today.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. We're grateful for what God has done and the progress that you are making as part of our stewardship family. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. We are honored to be taking your calls, taking your emails. The phone number is 866-357-3283, and the email address is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. If you get a voicemail when you call in, feel free to leave the voicemail. We'd be honored to follow back up with you. If we indeed can understand the voicemail, I'll just go ahead and throw that in there. All right, gone from Lubbock, Texas, this is Michael. Michael, how are you?
Greetings from Lubbock. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well here in Nashville. It's cooling off here in October.
Well, yeah, it started to cool off here too, but thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I'm in a little bit of a situation with my family. My wife and I have we already went through FPU, mm-hmm. and we are on baby step number two right now. But that's not really why I want to talk to you. What I really want to talk to you about is my parents. They retired. My dad retired from the oil field in Houston and moved up here to be closer to us and the grandkids. And with what they, you know, retirement on, they got a little house here, and it's fine. It's the two of them, and it's a three-bedroom, two-bath. Well, my dad got a job at Texas Tech and was, hey, I'm making more money now. Let's get a bigger house. And I just, they don't need anything bigger, but how do I approach them and say, hey, this is not a good idea. What if the job at Tech doesn't work out? Then you're stuck with two homes.
Yeah.
You know, they want to rent the other one out. But I still don't think that it's just two people. And it's not like they're having visitors come. They live next to us.
So yeah. No, I get it.
I just don't think it's, I don't want to, they're not getting any younger.
Yeah.
And they just, I don't know, they have this idea that they need something bigger and better, and I just don't agree with it.
All right. This is really funny that you brought this up, because there's an article right now at stewardship.com that says, is your house too big for your budget? Is your house
right.
too big for your budget? So I guess if you're asking me how to walk them through this, I would walk them through that article. I would have that conversation.
Okay.
And I would just, I would have from the conversation from, how about all of our houses? Let's talk about all, that's not just you.
Right.
Let's ask, hey, how are we? Just bring it up subtly at dinner or something or whatever.
I mean, I have a four-bedroom house just because I have children. As soon as they go off to college, I'm selling that sucker, going down to two-bedroom. I mean, nope, not moving back in. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
I mean,
it just has to make sense in your budget, whether it's six bedrooms, whether it's 47 bedrooms. It just has to make sense in your budget ratio-wise. So those that are making $10, $15, $20 million, I hate to tell everybody they have to have a three-bedroom house, but it has to make sense in their ratio.
Right.
In their ratio. So one, walk them through that article. Is your house too big for your budget on stewardship.com? The big component here, Michael, is they have to come to the conclusion themselves.
Yeah.
They are not going to be told by you what they need to do.
Yeah, definitely.
you've already experienced that, I'm sure.
The whole idea of them moving up here also was because Lubbock is a cheaper cost of living versus Houston.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. They're just distracted.
Oh.
They're distracted like all of us do. We get distracted on different things. Yours isn't on house. Yours is on something else. We all are just imperfect human beings, and they're very thankful.
Oh, absolutely.
They're very, they're blessed to have you in their life to be able to call this out on them, so I love it. Another thing that works, Michael, is I would just kind of – this really works for me. I would somehow, when the timing's right, jokingly point out how much money is being lost on unused square footage.
Exactly.
I know for me, like, there's rooms in my past where I have not walked into for 6 months, and I figured it out, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm paying $200 a month for a room I have not walked in 6 months.
Right.
And that just makes you sick. So that's another way to kind of walk them through that. Just kind of jokingly, you know, have that conversation. They'll be like, yeah, that's it. That is dumb. So anyway, and then lastly, I would give them the Legacy Journey book that I'm going to give you for free. So stay on the line.
Aww.
The Legacy Journey. If they can get their eyes on what a legacy looks like when they leave it to the next generation, that extra screened-in porch doesn't look nearly as important. And you can kind of put things into perspective. So stay on the line. I'm going to give you the Legacy Journey, okay?
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, thank you. An email here from Michelle says, getting out of baby step two this month, and we make $250,000 a year, and we want to buy a house, but we live in D.C., and it's expensive. And we're thinking about buying a foreclosure and fixing it up so that it's a kind of, she says, income snowball that will help them with their down payment on their home. Is this a good idea? Well, the next step for you, Michelle, is likely your emergency fund. Okay, you want to do that first, and then you want to get retirement started. But I don't necessarily like this idea. A better plan, you said you make $250,000 a year. This foreclosure plan is probably going to yield, what, $25,000 in rent? And you're going to have to go through all the hassle of buying it and keeping it and maintaining it and getting a property manager and fixing stuff. Just live on $150,000 and have a lot less hassle and get there quicker. You're $100,000 a year up instead of $25,000 a year up. Okay, so let's live with some contentment. I think in D.C. you could live for $150,000, right? I didn't say $80,000. I didn't say $60,000 because I know D.C. is expensive. But $150,000, I'm thinking probably. Bible says in Philippians 4, not that I am speaking of being in need, For I have learned in whatever situation I am to be, keyword, content. I know how to be brought low and I know how to be abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Great advice from the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. And Michelle, I hope that helps you out. All right, folks, great questions today. Good email and good calls. Very good show today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hey, listen, don't forget, you can get all your investing questions. We had a lot of investing questions today. You can get your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros by going to stewardship.com. I know for me, I went to SmartVestor Pro and I've loved my experience. Just click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find a Pro, and you'll be all ready to go. Get started with an investing professional right there in your area. God, we ask that you would continue to guide us towards managing this life your way and for your glory. God bless y'all.